Hello and welcome to another podcast episode. I'm Ray, and this time I'm going to be talking about relationships breaking down. I know the other week we did broken marriages, and you might be thinking, oh no, not more doom and gloom, morose, sad stories. Just remember that old saying, every cloud has a silver lining, and that is true in this first story, in fact the second one as well. So it's not always doom and gloom. When something goes wrong, initially, it's just natural of us to think, oh no, that's it. Oh, it's the end of the world. We're doomed. That's not always the case. Very often, I've found in life that when something bad has happened, at the time, it is doom and gloom. But then when I look back later, I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. If that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I'm in a far better place. So sometimes it's good that things go wrong, because later on, as I say, every cloud has a silver lining. Things turn out even better. A friend of mine, I'm going back to the 70s now, a friend of mine and his girlfriend, Dave and Jane, I knew them both very well, great couple. They lived in a very small two-bedroom terrace house. Now, it was Dave's father's house, and his father had said, look, you can live there, but I've got to charge you rent. You can't live there for nothing. His father was by no means rich, but he had been left this house, and he looked upon the rent as a little bit of sort of income, a bit of pocket money as age came upon him. So he charged his son a nominal rent. I don't know what it was, but a nominal rent. So Dave and Jane had moved into this house, very small, as I say, almost like a farm cottage type terrace, two bedroom house. What was it they call them? Two up, two down. Something like that. But there was a bathroom, a proper bathroom and toilet. And they'd been there quite a few months. Dave had often talked about marriage. He'd talk about having children, building a home together, and perhaps one day moving to a bigger property. Everything went completely wrong when Jane got in from work one evening and said to Dave, I'm going. So Dave said, going where? Over the shops, because she often popped over to the shops for milk and bits and pieces. And she said, no, I'm leaving. I'm leaving you. I'm moving out. He, needless to say, he was stunned. He said to me that he just stood there for what seemed like 10 minutes or more, just unable to speak. He finally said, look, what's going on? And she said, look, I don't want to live in this small house. It's like a doll's house. I don't like it. And you love it here. We're never going to move. I'm going to be stuck in this small box for the rest of my life. I want a bigger house. And he said, well, yes, in the future, when we're married, you know, we'll move, we'll get a mortgage, we'll buy a house. He was trying to be positive. He was always a positive chap. He still is. But she wouldn't have it. She also then threw in this business about his car. He had a small, Ford Escort or something, a small car back in the 70s, which was fine. It was just a runabout. It was fine. She said, I've never liked that car. I want a big car. Now, he'd always known that she was somewhat materialistic, but he hadn't thought that that would be a problem. Then when she dropped the bombshell, I found someone else. That's why I'm leaving. When she added, this new chap, he's got a Mercedes and a big house, then he realised that it was over. If she was more interested in a Mercedes than the relationship, then he didn't want to know. He was obviously still very sad. They'd been together quite a long time. And as I said, he was planning marriage. They talked about marriage in the past and having children. But she'd obviously bumped into someone else, met someone else with a big Mercedes and a big house. And she realised that that's what she wanted. She packed up some of her bits and pieces into her car and said that she'd be back on Saturday for the rest of her stuff. Wasn't much he could do. He didn't really want to say much. He was still in a state of shock, really. So he just let her get on with it, and she drove off. He rang his dad, explained the situation. Luckily, his dad said, look, don't worry too much about the rent. Get someone to do a house share with you. You know, you've got two bedrooms there. Get someone to move in, pay half the rent, which Dave thought was a great idea. His dad was obviously very upset for him. He couldn't believe it, that she just got home and said, that's it, I'm going. His dad had been around, obviously, for a lifetime. He'd known about couples and divorce and adultery and cheating. He was a man of the world. And he was rather like Dave, very positive. Oh, it'll be all right. It'll all come out of the wash. It'll be all right in a minute. So that was what Dave thought he would do. He'd find someone to do a house share with him. That night he went down to the pub. He knew his mates were always there. He explained the situation to them. Bit of a long story, this, so I'll cut it down. He said, look, I want someone to do a house share with me. If any of you or you know of someone, you know where I live, the rent is whatever it was, just send someone round. You know, I need someone to move in. On the Saturday, Jane came round. She was just collecting up the last few bits and pieces of her belongings when there was a ring at the door. Dave answered the door. There was this lovely young lady, as he put it to me, an extremely attractive young lady. He said, yes, can I help you? She said, well, the house share. And he looked her up and down. He said he was again stunned. And he said, I'm sorry, it's sharing with me. I was expecting a chap, a bloke. And she said, well, I don't care. It'll be like Man About the House. Do you remember that programme, Man About the House? She said, I don't care if it's all right with you. It's all right with me. She said, I assume we have separate bedrooms. Oh, yes, he said, yeah, two-bedroom house. And he invited her in. Her name was Chloe. He said, Chloe, this is Jane. She's just moving out. Jane, this is Chloe. She wants to move in. Of course, Jane, his now ex-girlfriend, thunder on her face, glaring at this very attractive young lady called Chloe. Anyway, she stomped out with her last of her suitcase, and that was the end of that. Chloe moved in. Now, Dave and Chloe, this was the silver lining in the cloud, got on extremely well. He said to me from that day one, she was saying she loved the house. Oh, this is fantastic. What a lovely place. I like this place. I like this sort of period cottage style. And look at the fireplace. You know, she was over the moon. She loved the whole thing. As he said, from day one, they got on like a house on fire. Well, not on fire, but you know what I mean. Now, there's even more to this silver lining. Dave and Chloe got on so well together, they ended up as, what do they call it these days? An item. They ended up as an item. They were in love. They fell in love. They talked about marriage and the future, exactly what Dave had wanted. And she was so much like him. They liked the same things. They liked the same music. And they got on extremely well. Now, some months later, there was a knock on the door. Dave opened the door to find Jane standing on the step. Oh, I'm so sorry, she said. I'm so sorry. I want to come back. I made a big mistake. I'm in love with you. I should never have left you, blah, blah, blah. Of course, she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know that he was now in love with Chloe and they were living as an item or a unit or whatever they were. And he said, I'm sorry, you're too late. I've got someone else and we're getting married. Now, apparently, Jane's face again was thunder. And she glared and stomped off, screeched off in her car down the road. So Dave didn't want revenge. He said to me, he never wanted revenge, but the way she'd carried on, he'd been cheating on him. He'd found out that she'd actually been cheating on him for a long time, which was the bit he didn't like. Had she just bumped into someone else and thought, this is who I want, and then left Dave, that would have been different. She'd been cheating on him, adultery, for a long time. That's what really upset him. There's a little bit more icing on the wedding cake. They had a lovely wedding, and at the reception, Dave's dad and his mum was there. Didn't mention his mum, she was happy for them. They said, we've got a wedding present for you. Dave was saying, oh, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have bothered. And his dad passed him a large envelope, and Chloe and Dave looked at each other as they're sort of tearing this envelope open, and inside, much to their surprise and delight, inside the envelope were the deeds to the house. That was their wedding present. They'd been given the house. As they say, every cloud has a silver lining. And this next cloud has a silver lining. Now, this girl, Jackie, I knew her decades ago. I'm going back early days again. Don't get me wrong. I didn't know a load of adulterous people in the old days. Mind you, I did actually, thinking about it, when I think back to those days, especially the 60s, make love, not war, and all this sort of thing, there was a lot of this going on. I suppose it still does now, but perhaps I just don't see it. I'm not aware of it. Jackie had a son. I think he was 3 or 4 years old. She'd been married, disastrous marriage, to a terrible chap. I knew him. He was awful. She ended the marriage, got rid of him, and was on her own. She lived in a flat on her own, and she was coping. She was doing fairly well. I mean, she wasn't well off by any means. She had a small son to bring up and look after, so it wasn't easy for her. And when she met this other chap, John, she thought, this is it. This could be a future father for my son. You know, this could be really good. She was keen on him. They got on well. She thought they got on well. Everything seemed fine. She was really happy. I remember saying to her, you know, these last few months, you've been so happy. And she was. Then the bombshell came. He worked on the industrial estate down the road, and he would go to the park. This was the summertime. He would go to the park for his lunch. And she'd meet him there perhaps two or three times a week, not every day. And she met him one lunchtime. And he said, I've got something to tell you. I can't see you next week. And she said, oh, OK. He said, I'm sorry, I'm away from this Saturday to the following Saturday. I'm away. And she said, oh, that's all right. Yeah, what is it, work? He said, no, it's not work. He said, look, I don't want this to affect our relationship. You know, we're good together. I don't want to upset what we've got. And she said, well, no, OK. Yeah, so what is it? And he said, on Saturday, I'm getting married. And she sort of looked at him and thought he was joking. And all right. And then she thought, no, it's not a joke. And she said, you're proposing. She actually thought he was proposing marriage to her. And she said, well, this Saturday, but I've got nothing to wear. I'm not ready. Have you booked it? And she's all over the place like this. And he said, no. I'm getting married Saturday to someone else. I'm going on honeymoon next week, but I'll be back the following Saturday. I can still see you. We can meet as we do. I can come round to your flat. I don't want this to affect our relationship. To say that she was stunned would be an absolute understatement. She was shocked to the core. She just couldn't believe what he was saying. She said that she just stood there. His words were floating past her, as she put it. I can still come round. We're good together. This won't change anything. He kept on and on. We can still have what we had. This won't change anything. She finally, as she put it, came to out of her daze. And apparently she said to him, no, this won't affect our relationship at all. And he smiled. And she added, because we haven't got a relationship. And she walked off. That was the end of that. Again, like Dave, who I told you about previously, she didn't want revenge. She didn't want that. She just wanted to be out of it, clear of him, end of. That was it. She phoned a friend of hers. She got a babysitter in to look after the little boy. She went down the pub with this friend of hers and she told her all about it. There was a local pub. It was only around the corner from where she lived. She told this friend all about it. She needed someone to talk to. And this friend of hers said, the wedding is this Saturday. And Jackie said, yes, this Saturday apparently is marrying whoever it is. And this friend said, hang on a minute. She went away, made a phone call. No mobile phones in those days. She came back. She said, just phoned a friend of mine. She'll be here in a minute. Doesn't live far. This girl turned up. Jackie was introduced to her. Her name was Pauline. And she seemed pleasant enough. She was quite attractive. They're all about the same age. And Jackie's friend said, tell Pauline what you've told me all about this chap. Jackie related the story and she said he's getting married Saturday. Told her the whole thing. She's devastated. They've been going out together for months. He'd even been staying at her flat some nights. This Pauline, she went deathly white, according to Jackie. She looked like she was dead, obviously in a state of shock. And she said, what was this chap's name? Jackie said, it's John. Oh my God, she said. And her eyes widened, her mouth fell open. What was his surname? Jackie told her. Oh my God. And of course Jackie said, what? She's looking at her friend and looking at Pauline. What's happened? What's the matter? I'm marrying him on Saturday. Apparently the three girls just looked at each other in sort of stunned amazement. They couldn't believe it. There's this chap's future wife sitting at the table. There's Jackie's friend sitting there looking at them both. Goodness knows what she was thinking. There was Jackie, already in a state of shock with what had happened. As Jackie said to me when she was telling me all about this, you couldn't make it up. Truth stranger than fiction. That's always stuck in my mind. You couldn't make it up. Truth stranger than fiction. Bit of a long story and I won't go on anymore. There's a lot more detail to this, but I don't want to go into it because you'll go to sleep. A bit like me when I'm watching Midsummer Murders. I suddenly look at the telly and say to my wife, I thought we were watching Midsummer Murders. She said, well, we were. That was an hour ago. We're now watching Poirot. I'd gone to sleep. Awful. Anyway, I digress. Long story short, there was no marriage on the Saturday. Pauline cancelled it. Apparently, Paul's parents, he lived at home, threw him out when they heard what had been going on. He was in his, mid-20s, whatever. Time for him to leave home anyway. They chucked him out. They couldn't believe it because they thought so much of Pauline. They'd planned, they'd spent money, they'd planned on the wedding. The wedding was like a day or two away, you know. It was imminent. Apparently, Pauline told them all about it, how he wanted to still see this other girl, even though he was getting married, still go around her flat, for obvious reasons. Why? Well, why would he go to her flat, not for a meal? And they just said, that's it, if that's the sort of person you are, you've wrecked Pauline's life, you've wrecked everything, and they threw him out. Jackie eventually found someone, a really nice chap. They got married, and they're still together now, as far as I know. They're still together, they've had a couple more children. Everything worked out for her in the end. So, again, a silver lining, you see. Had she stayed with this chap, well, she wouldn't have done. What girl in her right mind would say, oh, yes, OK, you're going to get married and you're off for a honeymoon. All right, look, I'll see you when you get back. You can come round and stay for the night. He must have been a bit of a nutcase to put that to her and expect her to say, oh, that's fine. That won't affect our relationship at all. So it was his fault and his loss, because Jackie is a lovely person, very nice person. His loss. I don't know what happened to Pauline. She probably went on to find someone else. Hopefully, anyway. Now, one more to tell you. Have I got time? It's been over a quarter of an hour already. Do you want to hear one more? I've got lots more, actually, but I've got one more special one. I'm changing the names of these two people. I'm going to call them Jack and Diane. After that record, I forget. Who did that? Jack and Diane. Can't remember. Anyway, Jack was late teens. Diane was quite a bit younger, mid-teens, quite a young girl. They met. They got on really well together. And Jack had thought that this could be it. After a few months, he thought, this is really good. We get on well together. He said to me that he honestly thought they were made for each other. It was meant to be. And if they were good together, everyone could see that. They were really good together. They were suited. After a couple of months, 3 months, Diane started saying, won't be able to see you tomorrow night, or won't be able to see you tonight. I'm doing this with my mother, or we're doing this, or we're doing that. Jack thought nothing of it. Okay, they saw each other virtually every night. So he just thought, okay, it'd be a nice break for him. He had things to do as well. This happened more and more as the weeks passed. Oh, can't see you tomorrow, can't see you Friday, won't be able to see you Saturday. This was happening more and more. And Jack was becoming a little bit suspicious. And he realised that whenever Diane couldn't see him, his father went out. Now, his father had changed over the recent weeks. He was buying clothes, trendy clothes. He was listening to pop music on the radio. He was always doing his hair and making sure that he looked good and trying to act a lot younger than he was. And Jack thought, this is a bit odd. But he started to put two and two together. Whenever Diane couldn't see him, his father went out. So one night he followed his father. His father drove off. Jack got in his car and followed. And to his, as he said to me, astonishment, rage, all the feelings all mixed together, he followed his father, who stopped at the end of Diane's road. Diane came out of a house, walked down the road, and got in his father's car, and they drove off. Jack said to me that he didn't believe it. He didn't want to believe it. This couldn't happen. This was his dad. His dad wouldn't go out with his girlfriend. Surely that sort of thing didn't happen. He knew in his heart of hearts that this is what was happening. He'd seen it with his own eyes. Then he tried to convince himself that, oh, it's something else. There's nothing like that going on. This is something else. Perhaps they're planning a surprise party. All this went through his mind. He didn't say anything to his father. He didn't say anything to Diane. He didn't say anything to his mum. He just let it go. Diane continued to say, oh, I can't see you tomorrow night. Won't be seeing you next Wednesday. And Jack obviously was becoming more and more suspicious. He knew what was going on, but he was in denial. He kept trying to convince himself, no, there's nothing in it. Oh, it's fine, there's nothing in it. Now, this is a very long story that spans out over 2, 3, maybe 4 years, so I'm going to have to cut it down a little bit. Jack was out with Diane one evening, and he cut his arm quite badly, just near his elbow, cut his arm. They'd been mucking around in the woods. It was a summer evening. They'd been playing around in the woods, and he caught his arm on some barbed wire. And he popped into the hospital. He popped into A&E because the cut was quite deep, and he just wanted someone to have a quick look and say, no, that's all right. What they did, they put some varnish on it, cleaned it up, varnished it, and off he went. That was fine. He didn't tell his parents. He didn't want his mum to worry. Didn't want to say, oh, I had to go to A&E. A day later, his dad said to him, I hear you went to the hospital. Now, no one knew, apart from Diane. So Jack said, no, I've not been to the hospital. Why would I go there? Oh, I heard you cut yourself. I bumped into Diane and she said, you cut yourself. No, he said, no, must have been someone else. She must have mixed me up with someone else, or you misheard her. Jack then realised that they were phoning each other because he'd been seeing Diane. He realised that they'd been phoning each other, obviously. They were in touch all the time. Jack didn't want to tell his mother about this. He didn't want her upset. He didn't know what to do. He said to me that he just hadn't got a clue what to do. He'd never come across anything like this before. If one of your friends goes out with your girlfriend or starts creeping around, you know what to do about it. You go and confront him. You have a punch-up or whichever way you deal with it. You deal with it. But as he said, this was his own dad. What could he do? He lived at home with his parents. What could he do? He couldn't go and, as he put it, punch his father's lights out. He didn't want his mother upset. He didn't want her knowing any of this. And he really was in a quandary. As he said to me in later years, he said, to be honest, at that age, it really did affect me. He said it affected me mentally. Don't get me wrong. He didn't go mental, but it did affect him psychologically, is the word to use, isn't it? It affected him psychologically. He started playing games. One night he hadn't seen Diane and he knew his father had gone and seen her. The next day he said to his father, oh, I had a great time last night. I went out. And his father said, oh, yes, where did you go? He said, oh, I met this girl. And he started to string along this story. Oh, I met this girl. She's fantastic. She's beautiful. And his father said, well, what about Diane? You're two-timing her. And Jack said, oh, no, it's only this girl on the side. You know, she really is nice. And you're going to see her now. Whenever Diane doesn't see me, I'm going to go and see this girl. Have some fun. A couple of days later, Diane confronted Jack. She said, I hear you're going out with someone else. It was pretty obvious where that had come from. So Jack denied it. No, what are you talking about? I haven't seen anyone else. What on earth do you mean? Who told you that? And he started the seed of doubt. He started her thinking that his dad had been lying, making things up, telling her stories. And he did this for some time, saying things to his dad, saying things to Diane about his dad. Oh, my dad's been seeing some other woman. And Diane would say, oh, yeah, what have you heard? Oh, yeah, I've seen her, yeah, some dark-haired girl. She's in her 30s. Lovely girl. I saw them the other night. They were out together in a pub. I'm not going to tell him I've seen him, but he's definitely got this other woman on the side. Jack was playing one off against the other, lying to Diane about his dad, lying to his dad about Diane, saying he'd seen Diane out with someone else. What is it they say? 'Tis a tangled web we weave. And this certainly was a tangled web, but Jack was in control. Although it was already sad, he'd lost Diane, he knew that. They weren't to be. It wasn't meant to be. So it didn't matter what he did. He'd finished with his dad. He couldn't move out, unfortunately. He had nowhere to live. He had to stay living at home. As far as he was concerned, any relationship with his father had finished. It was over. It could never be. Jack said to me some years later, he said, to tell you how bad it was, one early evening, he was just dropping Diane at home, and she gave him this little tablet, like a tic-tac. She said, have a mint. He was driving along, so he had this mint. And he said, well, it doesn't taste like a mint. You know, the little tic-tac things. He said, it doesn't taste like a mint at all. And when he got home, he didn't even have dinner. About 7 o'clock, I think he said the time was, he just lay on his bed and went fast asleep. Didn't get undressed. Didn't wake up till the following morning. When he realised, she'd given him some sort of powerful sleeping tablet, some sort of drug. he just said to his mother he hadn't felt well, and she said, oh, your father was out till early hours, don't know where he was. Jack knew where he was, and he couldn't believe that they obviously, between them, conspired to give him a sleeping drug to get rid of him for the evening, well, for the night. He just couldn't believe that they would do such a thing. With all the things Jack told me, he's told me more and more over the years, he's told me more and more bits and pieces, I could actually write a book. There's so much detail, so many incidents, so many things that happened, I could actually write a book about it. Diane, in the end, married someone else altogether. The thing with Jack's father finished, Jack finished with her. And the strange thing is, Jack saw her, you know, the night before she was getting married. He went round to see her. He wasn't quite sure why, but he went round to see her. And she said to him, it could have been you, Jack. It still could be you, if you want to, if you want to marry me. He couldn't believe what she was saying. She was getting married the following morning. He was round her flat with her. And she was saying that it could be you. He just couldn't believe it. As soon as she got married, as soon as she'd had her honeymoon and was back, she was up to her old games. She was seeing other people. He used to see her out with other people. He'd go to a pub. He'd see her there. Who's that chap? That's not her husband. And it happened again and again and again. All she did was cheat on everyone she ever met. As did his father. All he did throughout his entire marriage was cheat on his wife. Needless to say, Jack and his father never had a proper relationship. It was never a father-son relationship. You know, having a beer together, doing things together, go fishing together. None of that existed. Jack was polite, but that was as far as it went. There was no father-son relationship ever. There's no silver lining to this cloud, I'm afraid. No happy ending to this one. Well, actually, there was. The silver lining, I suppose, is that Jack didn't marry her as she'd wanted him to. So Jack wasn't cheated on. Had he married her, she'd be off with anyone in trousers, cheating on him, lying to him. Jack now is extremely happily married. I know him well. He's very happily married. So perhaps, as far as Jack's concerned, all's well that ends well. I don't know. I don't know what happened to Diane. I've just remembered that song, Jack and Diane, John Mellencamp. Two American kids doing the best they can, something like that. I don't know why I chose those names. I love that song. I love the guitar in that one. Anyway, I'm digressing yet again. I have some more adultery, cheating and all this type of story. Do you want to hear more of those? Let me know if you do. And I'll relate some more from people I've known over the years. There was another one that was awful. This young chap, early 20s, and his wife, they had a baby. I thought they were great together. It's quite sad even to think back. All along, she'd been seeing this very good friend of mine, sleeping with him, and it was just dreadful. If your relationship is in a bad place, try not to be too despondent. There will be light at the end of the tunnel, even though there may not be a silver lining to every cloud. There will be light at the end of the tunnel. I always think that when there's problems, it's like being in the middle of a forest. You don't know which way is out. How do you get out of the woods, the trees? The further you go along the path, the deeper you appear to be in the forest. But keep going and you will emerge from the forest into a field where the sun is shining and everything's brighter. So try not to be too despondent. If you can, smile. Let's change the subject, shall we? Next Sunday's podcast. Anyone got any ideas? I've heard from Ron. Heard from Ron. Had a lot of emails. Email me, raiserants@protonmail.com. Okay, raiserants, all one word, @protonmail.com. Let's have some ideas for some happier podcast episodes. What can you think of? Let me know. Thanks for listening, as always. I shall see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye for now.